They put Mobutu in power and supported him unconditionally, allowing him to destroy an otherwise wealthy country. They knew everything that was happening. I would refer, if I had some time, to an editorial that Jim Hoagland put in the Washington Post in 1993, saying briefly that successive American administration knew everything that Mobutu was doing in the Congo, but they considered it to be a small Cold War tax on Zairians, as it was called at that time. So now I am, okay, that was explained with the Cold War. I don't think that it's a complete explanation of the American role in the Congo. In my opinion, it shows the power and the influence of mining companies on the American foreign policy in the Congo in particular. Unfortunately, I thought that after the Cold War, the American administration was going to amend its act and allow the people of the Congo to chart a new course. Unfortunately, in the 2006 elections, they worked with other Western countries to impose Kabila on the Congo. It was a sham election. And now we are witnessing a total collapse, delinquency of the country, because we are dealing with a widespread corruption. Option on top of the violence that they use against even ordinary people, political activists, human rights activists. So far to date, the U.S. administration has played a negative role in the Congo. Yeah.
They also
supported Rwanda in its invasion of Congo. So far it has been a totally negative role in the Congo.
We're going to have to leave it there, but we will continue the discussion. Alafuela Kalala, Congolese pro-democracy activist, former presidential candidate in Democratic Republic of Congo, and Peter Erlander, thank you so much. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman.
Step through the global window, alternating Thursday evenings for a trip around the world through the FM ethers of WUSB 90.1 FM. I'm Chris, and I'll be your host on the Global Rhythms program every other Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Tune in and expand your musical horizons on Global Rhythms on WUSB Stony Brook.
A great heart to stand me by.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night. That means it's time for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And good news, tonight you won't have to hear me live very long because tonight is the first of the Bosnia shows. And it's going to be fun. It's amazing. I've been working on this for the last few days, and we actually have enough material for a couple, if not three, different programs, all centered on my recent trip over to Bosnia, among all the other former Yugoslav republics. It's fascinating material, and we have some radio broadcasts as well to go with it, and that'll be starting up in just a few minutes. Yeah. Next week, of course, I'll be here live because next week is the final playoff, I guess, before the summer break. Not that we're taking a break for the summer, but the people who organized the whole Starbucks elimination tournament, they apparently have other things to do. And that's where we bring it down to the round of 16. So over the summer, we're going to have 16 potential cities that I'll wind up in as my first ever visit to a Starbucks sometime in 2011. Yeah, we're really milking this for all it's worth, aren't we? So what's going to happen next week, it's going to be kind of a big event. We'll wind up posting on the website not only the 16 finalists, but the addresses now. Right now, if you go to the website, thefirststarbucks.com, you'll see 32 cities, among them such amazing places as Elizabeth, New Jersey, College Park, Maryland, Roseville, California, Redlands, California, Sunrise, Florida, things like that. But you also have some out-of-the-way places like Hong Kong in China and Guadalajara in Mexico, Luzern in Switzerland, and, of course, Brentwood, Tennessee. Well, you know, it's all random. We started with 10,000 possible names, and now we're down to 32, and next week it'll be 16, and that's how it's going to stay for the summer. And I imagine over the summer we'll be hearing from people from hopefully each of those 16 places with their pleas for us not to go there or pleas for us for some reason to go there. At some point, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating. So that's next week. Next week will be a live show. And you know, there's this other tournament going on too. That's in the round of 16. You might have heard of it, called the World Cup. Yes, it's still going on. Every day since it began, there's been at least two games being played, and that stops tomorrow. Tomorrow they take a break, and Thursday they take a break before they go into the quarterfinals on Friday and Saturday. It's been fascinating to watch. A lot of things happening, a lot of dramatic things happening. A lot of, you know, I guess, tragedy too, because, well, you know, every 4 years, you only get to do this every 4 years, and you stake all these hopes on moving through to the next round, and then you let your fans down, France, and you wind up going back in the first round, Italy. You're the world champions, for God's sake. Oh my goodness! It was just it was sad. It was really, who beat you, Slovakia? You know, it's wow. Well, Slovakia made it through to the next round, but Italy had to go home. That's another thing. You know, I don't understand why they're there at the World Cup. The whole team is there, and as soon as they lose, they go home. Nobody sticks around. Nobody stays to see how the other games turn out. Nobody seems to care. You know, if I was in South Africa and I was part of the U.S. team, and I'll get to them in a second, and we lost, which we did, I wouldn't want to go back home to Sloatsburg, New York, or wherever it is I happen to be from, me being a soccer player and leading a whole different life. Huh, wonder how that could have turned out. Oh, sorry, I was miles away. Yeah, why would I go back to the States when I could stay there and see some world-class soccer, of which my team apparently is not part of? I just think it would be rather entertaining, and I'm sure you'd get a good deal on the tickets. And if not, you know, you're in South Africa. How often does that happen? Well, it's never happened for me. Not yet, anyway. Africa's the continent that I really would like to go to. That, Antarctica, Australia, and Atlantis. Yeah. That's a continent, right? Not a country. I never could get that straight. United States, you know, I got to say, they won my respect. They really did, because I was talking about this last week, about the controversial call, and, for a while, they just were clinging to this, but eventually they let go of it, and they just started playing their hearts out, and I think they did a really good job. They were very emotional. They were very into what they were doing. And you could see how much it mattered to them, a lot more so than professional athletes you see in other sports. You see so much emotion in soccer that you don't see in other sports. You don't see players crying openly very often, unless you're announcing your retirement to a crowd of 60,000 people and you've got some fatal disease or something like that. Yeah, that happens, but I'm talking about in the course of a normal game. You know, when Italy was eliminated, they were crying inconsolably on the field. it was just sad, really sad. You realize the emotion there. You don't think of them as superstars. You think of them as human beings. And it's a lot of that human contact. You know, you help your opposing player up, you know, the guy you're playing against. Of course, a lot of that is for show as well, because you don't want to get a yellow card. But sometimes there's real sincere affection there. And that's another thing. There's so much more affection being shown in that sport. I mean, how much affection is there really in a bunch of linebackers piling up on top of each other with so much protective gear that you couldn't feel anything, let alone the touch of a person? But in soccer, it's just, I don't even know how they survive the game, because there are all these feet flying around, and there's no padding or protective gear of any sort. It just seems like it's a lot more brutal in some regards. And that's not even the most brutal of the sports. Australian rules football and rugby and Irish football and all kinds of things like that. Gaelic football. It boggles the imagination. It really does. But yeah, U.S., you know, it was sad that they lost. But I am very happy to see Ghana go through. Ghana is the team that beat them, and they're now going to the quarterfinals. This means, and Ghana is going to play, who are they going to play, Uruguay? Yeah, is it Uruguay or Honduras? You know what? I should know this. That's a good question. I don't have the information in front of me. Well, they're playing a team from Latin America. How's that? And I think they've got... they've got a good shot at winning. And if they do win... I just looked it up. Yeah, Honduras didn't do very well at all. I'm sorry. They're not even in the round of... It's Uruguay. Okay. If they actually are able to beat Uruguay, which they have a good shot at doing, it'll be the furthest an African team has ever advanced in the World Cup. And I think that's especially good to happen at a time when the World Cup is being hosted for the first time in Africa. And all the other African teams got eliminated in the first round. It was good to see South Africa beat France. I guess the French really deserved that. Boy, talk about cement heads. I mean, yeah, let's go on strike. You know, that seems to be what people in France do all the time, is go on strike. But not when you're playing the World Cup, for God's sake. You know, a lot of people are following what's going on here. A lot of people back home, this is what they live for. You know, they work long hours in some kind of horrible retail outlet someplace, or perhaps serving fast food to fat people. You know, and here every 4 years they get to watch their national team play against other countries and maybe bring home the trophy, the World Cup. Maybe do that. It matters to them. But what do you guys do? You go out on strike because you want to back up a fellow teammate who got into an argument with a coach. Yeah, that makes your salary worthwhile, doesn't it? That's what it's all about. Solidarity. You know, there's plenty of time to show solidarity. But not when you're in the World Cup. I think that's... Maybe, you know, if you're in a war, fighting for your life, it's not the time to say, time out, guys. I don't like the way the sergeant spoke to me before. And we gotta have a meeting now. Yeah, okay, we have one less person to worry about now. Okay, The sooner we have the meeting, the sooner we can answer the shells that are coming in and hitting us. No, you don't do that. There's certain times you don't go on strike. You postpone it for a little while. Ugh. So yeah, that was interesting. Italy, they just played bad. I don't know why. I don't know why. Few people do. Who do I like? That's the question everyone's asking. Everyone's asking, Emmanuel, who do you like in the World Cup? Well, I would love to see Argentina win because I think their coach, that Maradona guy, is just so funny. I want to see how happy he can possibly get. He bounces. You ever see this guy? They've won, four times now? And every time they score goals, he bounces up and down. It's something to see. It's so much fun. And yeah, Ghana, but it's not realistic to see Ghana go through. Germany, you know what? Germany, you've done this enough. Give it a rest. And Brazil, okay, you know, Brazil, you are the best team in the world. There's no question about that. Can't you just say that and not win the World Cup? You know, because watching these guys run around the field and kick the ball and just, it's poetry. Poetry in motion, literally. There's no question about it. Why even have the World Cup when there's Brazilians on the planet? But come on, let's have Togo or somebody get all the credit this time. It gets boring when it's the same people. Portugal, you know, Portugal plays Spain tomorrow, and they played Spain today. I'm sorry, you know, I haven't seen the game yet. I don't know what happened. Maybe somebody out there knows. Don't tell me, please. And I also don't know what happened with the other game today, which is Japan versus Paraguay. And those are probably the two weakest teams in the final 16. But and you know, Chile and Spain. This is why I don't want Spain to win, because the last few minutes of the game they played as part of the last game of the initial group, they just batted the ball around, didn't even try, because they knew if the score stayed the way it was, they both went through to the next round. And that's exactly why the last game they play at the same time as the other last game in the group, so that teams don't do things like that. It's really, it's not very sportsmanlike. It's boring. Yeah, and you know, I was in the Serbian place. I said I was going to go to. Unfortunately, Serbia lost. They lost to Australia. Ugh. What an embarrassment. But it was nice to be there. It was nice to be in the place packed with enthusiastic Serbian people, especially after just coming back from Serbia. And at the end, after their team lost, everybody just stood up and gave a round of applause in this faraway place, thousands of miles away from where they were playing and from where the country is. And it was kind of cool. It was kind of cool. But I noticed, you know, the difference, because I watched the games on Canadian television through the magic of my Canadian dish over the CBC, and they pipe into some international feed from England, whereas in the United States, they do it on ESPN, and they have a guy with an accent on the team of announcers, but they have a team of announcers. And this is what I ask people, if they can tell the difference, when they see what I see and when they see what they see, what's the difference? The difference is, I have one guy announcing the game, and they have at least two or three, which means there's constant back and forth and chatter and nonsense like that that you really don't want to hear. Whereas if I'm watching it on the international feed, sometimes there's 25 seconds of silence, and you don't need to be hearing words every few seconds. And I think that's what draws me to it. That's what makes it not annoying, being able to have this on in the background while I'm doing work. And it's almost like you're there. It's pretty cool. Anyway, enough about that. I didn't mean to talk about the World Cup again. And look at this. I've used up all the time that I have live in the studio. We have to go to Bosnia. That's right. We have to go to the special Bosnian edition of Off the Wall, the first special Bosnian edition of Off the Wall. This is going to be pretty cool. This is going to be pretty neat. Basically, this happened in April. I went over there with my good friend Kyle, and we wandered to every single former Yugoslav republic, and even a republic that wasn't there when Yugoslavia was around, not as an independent republic anyway. I'm talking about Kosovo, and also Albania, which was never part of Yugoslavia. And we recorded audio in all kinds of different places, got some things off the radio. One thing I should point out, and I'm sorry about this, I left my telephone on during one section here. And what happens, sometimes the GSM noise, that sort of, you know, marching band type of electronic interference noise, that comes through on electronic gizmos like MP3 recorders that you happen to be holding in your hand near your phone. So you're going to hear that a couple of times. We managed to get most of it out. I'm sorry for the times that we didn't do that. And again, we'll have more of the Bosnia adventure in weeks to come. But for now, enjoy this part as we go to Bosnia. Well, here we are on the bus. We just crossed over the border from Croatia into Bosnia. We are now, Kyle, in Bosnia. What do you think about that?
I'm pretty impressed. It's nice. It didn't take long at all, and well, there's more beautiful scenery, farms and small cottages and stuff everywhere. Lots of water, really lush. We're between several different mountains, and the sun's setting, probably another hour left and it'll be dark, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm ready for another country, another town, more people and more adventure. So
it's our third country in less than a week, third tiny country. Now in country code 387. We were in country code 385 and 386 before, so that's kind of cool. Yugoslavia, by the way, used to be country code 38, and then when they broke out, they split it in all different ways. Oh, split it. I made a pun. We just came from Split.
Oh, you're awful. I can't believe you just said, well, all right, I'll give you that one, but geez.
Yeah,
had to. You couldn't avoid it.
It's not hard to do, really. Split was pretty awesome, don't you think?
Oh, I really liked Split. From the narrow roads and these 100-year-old buildings and, you know, everything's cemented and re-cemented over and roofs and pathways.
Oh,
and,
look, a mosque, a minaret.
Oh, my God.
Our first minaret.
That's a minaret. You're absolutely right.
How about that? We're in a Muslim country now, Kyle.
Whoa, that's stark contrast because Croatia was 95-98% Christian Catholic. Oh my God.
Yeah, so this is very different already. We've been pretty much in countries that are sort of espoused to be somewhat Western. Slovenia, Croatia, and Zagreb, and Split. Things that we recognize, a lot of churches around, a lot of tourists. I mean, there are a lot of tourists in Split, but now we're in a different culture, a completely different culture. And I think we're going to notice all sorts of things. But getting back to Split, yeah, it was... We have to thank the volcano for that, because normally...
Police car. Look at that.
Police car.
Whoa. It was unmarked. Like an Audi or something. Yeah.
Okay, our first cop.
Wow. Okay, that was close.
He was approaching us.
Yeah, he's passing another car in our lane. That was pretty close.
Yeah, this...
Sorry to interrupt.
No, this trip has been rather harrowing because narrow roads, mountainous. We were on the water going up for quite a few miles, and just a sheer drop below us. So you were kind of digging your nails into the chair, right?
Yeah, there was a section there where it was absolutely terrifying. It felt like we were in a small plane. We were that high up from the water, and there's, like, no gradual slope. We're talking a very, very steep grade, a very tiny guardrail, and we're in a very tall bus. So I had the misfortune of sitting in the seat next to the guardrail, and it was really tough to look down, so I stuck my nose in the hacker quarterly and kept my eyes focused on that for a minute.
For me, it was really tough to look straight ahead and see the bus driver on the phone constantly.
Yeah, I noticed that. I pointed that out, and you're absolutely right. He was talking pretty much the whole time, or accepting calls and fielding calls, all that.
I mean, transferring calls. Exactly. We get a switchboard operator up there. Meanwhile, he's got another guy next to him and takes tickets, but he doesn't do anything else. He could be the one talking on the phone. I'm not telling people how to run their lives, but it just seems to me, if you're running a big bus down these little tiny narrow roads that overlook 1,000-foot drops into the water below, or anything below, maybe that's not the best time to be holding a phone next to your ear. Like, at least get a hands-free thing.
Yeah,
I mean, in that particular
that.
Case, oh. If I'm driving a bus, I'm going to, like, say, all right, you know, this probably isn't that safe to do. But who knows? What do we know about that? Anyway, getting back to Split, yes. So what we did was we went to Split. We weren't really going to do that originally, but the volcano made us change our plans quite a bit. Instead of flying into Munich, we flew it directly into Zagreb a day later. And that sort of gave us a little bit more time to explore the republics. And so many people recommended Split, recommended going to the seaside, the western part of Croatia, that we just sort of figured out a way to work it in. And then when we went up to Slovenia, thinking we could get a bus from Ljubljana to Split, we realized that wasn't possible. So we had a friend up there actually drive us down to Zagreb, and we caught a train. That took, about 5 hours to get out through the mountains to Split. And then we decided to add a day. We were originally just going to spend a day there. We decided to spend 2 days there so that we could actually walk around and appreciate it. And I'm sure glad we did that, because 1 day was not enough. But what we got something that that was not really something I was planning on, an apartment. You basically go online, you see what's available, and... More so than hotels are these apartments that get rented out for a day or 2 days or a week at fantastically cheap prices. And we booked one and basically met up with this woman who was part of the agency who rented it to us. And she walked us up these long, narrow corridors through ancient buildings. Just seemed to go on forever before we got to our little doorway. And it was just such a cool thing to be able to just live life in that part of town, completely not touristy. This is where people actually lived, and not commercial at all, just residential, but so old, so much history in that place. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, me either. That was a really cool way to experience it, because when we did get off the train, it was a little touristy. The waterfront has a lot of palm trees and shops and stuff, and the palace itself has a lot of shopping. So we didn't know that at the time, but it was a little commercial looking right out from the train. So going up into these streets, we're like amazed that, you know, this is where we were going to be staying, because it was these deep, dark alleys, and you know, we thought, geez, we're going to get lost. This is never gonna be.
And we did get lost.
Yeah, we did. We got lost a little bit, but I feel like we mastered it. But
we mastered it pretty quickly, because we went out after settling down, and you know, found our way out okay. But then finding our way back through the labyrinth of little tiny corridors seemed almost impossible. Unfortunately, the woman had written something on a map for us, but even then it seemed really, really difficult. After a day, though, we had it figured out. We were able to get back and forth pretty easily, and we kept discovering little nooks and crannies and places to eat and things to get. Things were, as I said, so cheap. We found this one place the first night where we had really good food for almost, you know, nothing, like, you know, 15, 20 bucks for two people, including wine and everything. And then we just spent time hanging out in a square the next day, people watching. We went to one place just for coffee, went to another place for food.
Yeah, we got some amazing seafood. That was one of the things on our list. I really wanted to go to the coast of Croatia and see the water and try some of the seafood. And that was like a lunch, early dinner, and it was wonderful. It was a treat. It was a real treat to soak it up.
Yeah, amazing seafood. And that's what you do when you go to a place like Split, because it's all so fresh and different and relaxed. I mean, we were able to just sort of hang out there for hours in the square. Just nobody pressured us to move fast. You know, like most places in Europe, you don't get that kind of pressure to hurry up and give up your seat to somebody else. But it was also just a lot more relaxed than even the Western European countries, because there wasn't a whole lot of commercialism. There's some. There are some chains, but not a lot.
It was definitely a port town. You would notice there's a lot of people whenever those boats are around.
That's why I break in here. We just saw more cops standing on the street at an intersection. That was kind of unusual. They're sort of standing there watching cars go in. We're in a small town now, and I'm not really sure what the name of this town is. The thing is, the distance between Split and Sarajevo is only about 100 miles as the crow flies, but as the bus drives, it's about 7 hours. We're just a little bit over the border, and now we just have to drive to Sarajevo. It's incredible to think, though, that the devastation this country went through only 15 years ago, and it looks intact, so you wouldn't be able to tell just by looking at it.
Yeah, based on some of the research that we did, we watched a lot of films, added a little edge, a little excitement to the border crossings, just because you are talking to authority, you are presenting papers, and that harkens back to some of that militant, I don't know, there's something about that essence of that interaction that always gets my heart racing a little bit, even though it was like incredibly smooth, as we just noted, crossing here into Sarajevo.
But without in Sarajevo, yeah, we still have about, I don't know what time it is now. It's about maybe
right, I totally
seven.
I thought about that very carefully, too. We're in Bosnia. We're headed to Sarajevo, but we're not there yet. We're a couple miles out.
It doesn't matter how many miles, because it's going to take us another at least 3 hours to get there, probably because we're going through all these mountains again. I think any kind of checks are over. We don't have to worry about border crossings. But Bosnia is actually divided into two parts. There's what we're in right now is known as the Federation, and that's basically a federation of Croats and Muslims. And then you have the Republic Srpska, I believe is how you pronounce it, the Serbian Republic within Bosnia. So they're more or less autonomous. I don't know if we'll be, when we're on the train later on, a train going from Sarajevo to Belgrade, a train that was just recently reopened, I'm not sure if there are border issues when we go into the Serbian Republic within Bosnia. But that's just fascinating that it's divided up within Bosnia. And Herzegovina is also the southern part of this particular country. I don't think there's really a significant difference. I don't think you have to cross any kind of line or anything when you go from Bosnia to Herzegovina. I don't even know if we're going to be able to do that ourselves. And it's also in the northeastern part of the country. It's a very tiny part that's a Croatian part that's more or less
Really?
Yeah, more or less independent. Sort of. I mean, it's part of Bosnia, but they kind of just run things on their own. It's like the equivalent of a city. I read this in the book today, actually, and okay. I was kind of surprised by that.
No, absolutely. I'm really impressed with the research you've done. This is certainly an educational experience for me and my American sensibilities here. So.
Just reading a book occasionally, looking at various things, learning about... I found out that, yes, we can get alcohol in Bosnia, not a problem. And even grappa we can get, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We found... Oh, this is kind of funny. We were walking around Split late last night... because we couldn't connect to the internet, and actually, you're the one who managed to get us onto the internet.
Yes, we walked around and looked as much as we could at near hotels and cafes and stuff in what I had referred to as sort of the touristy part of the shore in Split, and we sort of had to walk up into the more high-rise local parts of town, city, which you might call like the city district, and we eventually found one that allowed us to connect, and it was a great connection and reasonably strong. We repositioned.
It was fast. I think we were just piped into somebody's apartment or something.
Absolutely, it was like a 6 or 4 character, you know, alphanumeric.
There's a cop who's questioning somebody in a car.
Yeah, it looks like one of those yellow post vehicles.
I've seen more cops since we got into Bosnia than I've seen our whole trip beforehand.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting observation. You're absolutely right. I saw a couple staked out like they're doing radar patrols right when we saw that undercover one that I just mentioned, right after that, I think. So it's kind of interesting, yeah.
So we were on the internet and we were looking for a place to stay in Sarajevo, because this is how we roll. What we do is we go from place to place. Oh, look at the mountains there with the snow on top. That's really, really high up. Wow. They really have mountains here. They know how to do mountains right.
Yeah.
So what we do is we basically go to a place and then we figure out how to get to the next place. We go to the bus station or we go to the train station, scope it out, and then get a ticket for the time we want to go. Like yesterday I went to the bus station, which is next to the train station in Split. And it was kind of funny because I actually had to do a few errands. I had to pay for the room because we didn't have the right money the night that we got the room. So they basically...
Right. She was cash only.
Yeah, she was cash only. It didn't take credit cards. So I had to arrange to meet up with her at her office the next day.
Right.
And so what I did was I went to the bus station, which is where the change booth was. And I gave however many dollars to get the kuna, which is the currency in Croatia. Got enough to bring back, and I found the office, paid the woman, and nice conversation with her. Then I figured, okay, now it's time to get the bus ticket to Sarajevo. And yeah, what happened was I went back. I knew I had to get change again to do this, because you know, I guess I could have done it all at the same time, but I didn't know how much the bus was. I just wanted to focus on one task at a time.
Right.
But it turns out the person that sells the bus tickets is also the same person that does the cash. So I had to basically wait online to get cash exchanged, figure out how much money I needed, get the right amount changed. And she gave me the money, and then we just moved on to the next window where I gave her back the money for the bus ticket. And it was really, it was funny that it was the same woman, you know, basically 3 different transactions in the course of an hour. And so anyway, what we did was we got the bus ticket, and then walking around last night, looking for internet, the goal was to figure out where to stay in Sarajevo. So, you know, we don't panic. Literally the night before, we don't know where we're going to stay in a foreign city that we've never been to in our lives. We just knew that somewhere on the internet we'll find something and we'll book that. And we found a youth hostel. It's something like $19 a night. It's incredibly cheap and also very much like a hotel. You get private rooms and just, you know. I found out, actually, I haven't told you this yet, that the hostel we're staying at has a total of 3 rooms. So it's not very big.
Oh, my gosh. That's tiny.
And we might be the only people there. You know, it's this is off-peak season, and Sarajevo still isn't exactly a tourist mecca. We'll check it out ourselves and see if it's maybe worthy of such. I know Croatia certainly is. My God, what an amazing place. Just hanging out in Split on the Mediterranean, you get the sense that this is what the Mediterranean used to be like before it got all touristy and commercialized. I mean, yeah, there were a lot of tourists here, but you know, everyone's kind of just doing their own thing, just relaxing, and everything's very affordable. and very laid-back way of life.
And you don't get the sense that there's any sort of animosity between tourists and locals. They really welcome you and, treat you absolutely as an equal. I think in some places, in other Western destination spots, there's a little bit of a sense that, you know, the money goes to some multinational instead of actually staying in the community. And everything's so local as is, you really feel like you're helping them thrive and maintain their lifestyle because they're directly interacting with you. And that extends itself to just socializing. And when you do try to get out of the more touristy spots, you can actually meet all kinds of people that are just regular citizens. They're happy to see you. All the kids are happy. All people are, they let you take pictures laughing or, you know, telling jokes in their native tongue while you're doing your thing. And they're not resentful or anything like that. You never get that feeling. And it's not about language. It's body language, not spoken stuff, because obviously it's tough to know the tongue, but you can feel it. You really feel like, hey, I'm welcome, and let's explore. And
I've never seen so many happy kids. I have in other places, other countries, but I saw a lot of happy kids in Split and Croatia in general. It just seemed like they were just running around doing what kids do and having a great time at it. And that sort of adds to the mood of the entire place. And adults, too. Adults, too, seem just to be doing their own thing, people not bothering them. And right. As you mentioned, we can just take pictures of people and their normal day-to-day activities or amazing scenery and things like that. And it's just really, really cool and kind of inspirational.
Kilometara. Posjetite nas u Karađorđevoj ulici broj 2 zgrada Energomonta i uživajte u opremanju vašeg stana ili poslovnog prostora. Sve informacije na telefon 300 015. Provjerite zašto smo najbolji. GMP Enterijeri.
Maturanti. Za sve vaše svečane prilike i užitak u koraku. Nova kolekcija obuće par excellence i promodo. Ipak je u Bonelu najbolje.
Pošiljku hitno za poslati.
Na pravom ste mjestu, brza pošta.
Od sada i po super cijenama. Uručenje sutra, već od 6 km. Uručenje odmah u zoni grada već od 5 km. Dodatna pogodnost u Republici Srpskoj. Uručenje danas već od 8 km. Pozovite 1371. Brži od imena, jeftiniji od svih. Brza pošta, Pošte Srpske.
Obi, najdraža trgovina Solo Mahera. Okrugli roštilj, 38 cm, umjesto 19,90, 15 maraka 90. Pokretni roštilj, 53 cm, umjesto 74,90, sada neodoljivih 37,90. Roštilj sa poklopcem, 43 cm, umjesto 97,90, sada primamljivih 59,90 km.
28., 29. i 30. aprila, čak i do 60% popusta na roštiljima. Za najbolju roštiljadu i srećan 1. maj.
Obi, najdraža trgovina Solo Mahera.
Autodemi.
Na pitanje šta produžava vijek motoru, svaki automehaničar bi dao isti odgovor. Kvalitetna motorna ulja. Zato Autodemi, pored ostalog, u svojoj ponudi ima i vrhunska motorna ulja. Mobil, Castrol, Elf, Aral, BMW i Valvoline. Autodemi. Banja Luka, Transit, Krajiški brigada 30. Telefon 051 300 124.
Autodemi.
To je ono što želim. Moj stil. N sport.
N fashion.
Moj izbor. Pođi za mnom. Puma.
Pripremi se za svjetsko prvenstvo u fudbalu, gledaj Blitz TV i osvoji LCD televizor, mini laptop, eksterni disk. I to nije sve. Za sve nove korisnike prva dva mjeseca besplatan Sport Extra ili Edu Extra TV paket. I pretplata za samo 1 km. Ni to nije sve. Svi naši korisnici mogu ostvariti 10% popusta na kupovinu LG LCD televizora u Stanić Tehnoshopu. Akcija traje od 1. aprila do 1. juna. Više informacija na www.blitz.net.
Salon kupatila Termotehna, Banja Luka. Mi imamo sve što i drugi imaju, ali drugi nemaju ono što mi imamo. Novu ponudi, italijanske pločice, tuš kabine, kade, masažne kade, masažne tuš kabine sa saunom i stotinu vrsta najmodernijih baterija za vodu i sva ostala kupatilska oprema. Veleprodajna i maloprodajna mreža u 7 evropskih zemalja. Povoljne cijene i vrhunski kvalitet. Salon kupatila, Termotehna, Banja Luka, Derviši put srpskih branilaca 35, telefon 051 386 111.
Sa Nesradiom do zdravlja.
Stetoskop. Svake srijede u 10 časova i 40 minuta. Stetoskop.
Dobar dan, dobrodošli. Mnogo informacija. Evo jedno novo istraživanje da genetski modifikovana hrana dokazano šteti plodnosti. I još nešto što je stiglo pri nekih 5 minuta. Kaže da je utvrđeno da petominutni test za utvrđivanje raka debelog crijeva može smanjiti broj umrlih od ove bolesti za oko 40%. To je najnovije istraživanje britanskih naučnika. Ovo je vrlo interesantno. Ruski stručnjaci objavili su senzacionalne rezultate. Tvrde da imaju nepobitne dokaze da su genetski modifikovani organizmi štetni za
sisa.
No, I just wanted to look. She did move sides, but
She switched to a different seat, but it's not your seat, I don't think.
I just didn't want her to be sitting on my stuff.
See, that's the Western feeling there for being worried that people are going to do something.
You're right. I was casing her out.
Yeah, we'll get you over that. But no, I was worried too, actually. So now we're approaching some really steep mountains here, and we're going to be passing through the city of Mostar in not too long a time. Historical city, and of course the bridge there was the historic bridge centuries old was bombed during the war. I'm not sure if we're going to see the replacement of that or really get a chance to appreciate the history, but it will be nice to know we passed it by anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess she moved back again. She's not in my chair now, is she?
I don't think so. I think she's right in front. She's looking at something or trying to get comfortable.
Okay. Well,
I think we're all right, though.
Us moving to the back of the bus to record this little bit should make everybody comfortable. At one point we thought we were going to be the only people on the bus because nobody else was getting on. It split, and then the bus picked up all kinds of other people along the way.
Yeah. It started out with a good 5 people that we didn't see when we originally queued up to get in, and gathered maybe 10 or 15 during the course of the trip. Now we're down to about that original 6, 7, 8, I don't know.
Are they the same people?
Different people, I think.
And we might be the only people that go actually from Split to Sarajevo.
We very well may be, because a lot of the people that got on when we started were getting off in the middle, and people we picked up along the way or maybe still here or have since got off. So it's really been sort of a lot of churn.
Yeah, some people only got on for a few stops and then got off again, so that was kind of interesting. Yeah. But what we're going to do when we get to Sarajevo, apart from spending a few days there, is take the recently reopened train from Sarajevo to Belgrade in Serbia.
Right.
And that's going to be incredible because that train was pretty much destroyed during the war, and there wasn't a direct way to get from Bosnia from Sarajevo to Belgrade. So it's kind of a symbolic thing. The train reopened in December, and just having that link back again is a real sign of healing. I'm not sure how many people will actually be taking it, but it's part of the healing process after the devastation of the war. And I think also what we'll find is a lot of healing between people, between religions and nationalities, because Sarajevo and Bosnia used to be this incredible mix of but you had the Catholics, the Croatians who were Catholic, you had the Orthodox of the Serbs, and you had the Muslims,
right?
The Bosniaks, as they call themselves, and everybody just kind of got along in this mixture of cultures and intermarriages and all that kind of thing.
But
everybody was friends,
but still retain their cultural identity and ritual and mutual respect.
Yeah, but thanks to ultranationalism from some sources and changing geography as Yugoslavia fell apart and countries became independent, it all basically dissolved almost overnight, and you had people who were one-time friends, or even people in the same family, taking on opposite sides in this horrible conflict that just went on for years. And it's, you know, if anybody who says that that can never happen to us, this is a wake-up call, because it can happen to anybody, how quickly things can fall apart. But I think what we will see here, what I've heard, is that it's coming back together. A lot of it has come back together. A lot of people are, you know, reliving the life of the past where different cultures get along. Of course, there has been a lot of change, a lot of upheaval. A lot of people have left. A lot of people have not come back to Bosnia or even to Croatia or Serbia. They've gone to their original home republics, and there's still a lot of healing to be done. But I think, I hope that the steps have been taken, and that this kind of thing will serve as a reminder to the lots and lots of cultures to never take anything for granted.
How fast it all can change the whole world insane. One man gives the word, and good people turn with just a knock at the door. Nothing is anymore. Allah, save us from the Christians. Allah, save us, are you listening? Allah, save us from the Christians. Allah, save us. One night, men with guns, and my neighbor is one, a man I've known for years. What is he doing here? Gun to my daughter's head, but they won't kill her if instead. So I do the thing they say, then they shoot her anyway. Allah, save us from the Christians. Allah, save us, are you listening? Allah, save us from the Christians. Allah, save us. No reply, just a cold gray sky. In the prison camp, I come to understand. The guards have made it clear, they are God in here. Allah, Allah, save us. Allah, save us from the Christians. Allah, save us, are you listening? Allah, save us from the Christians. Allah, save us.
Nervous about how closely we're following the vehicle in front of us. It is a nerve-wracking ride, and it's sometimes slow, sometimes scary. But yeah, you know, I think we're in for seeing something really fascinating, interesting, and educational, and hopefully inspirational as well. Not quite sure how we'll communicate with people without, you know, asking the wrong questions or saying something that might be taken the wrong way. You have to be, you know, a little bit careful. These people have been through hell. We'll probably meet people who have witnessed things firsthand, and that's going to be something new for us.
I just remembered. You're talking about you getting along and, you know, harboring resentments. We were talking to one guy, a stranger, and we remarked at how it is a microcosm for the world. These interactions are absolutely, you know, scale out exponentially to what we experience in global conflicts, and I don't even need to name any situation. There's plenty of them. Pick 10. But this is a microcosm for how we interact and how, you know, we are different invariably, and no matter what your tribe, your village, your ethnic, cultural identity, even within the the hacking community, I think there's parallels. I don't mean to go off topic, but there's certain groups, and you know, you talk about this yourself, how clicks can be damaging, and I think this absolutely runs parallel to that. That's what I was thinking, is the microcosm.
There's no bigger click than the click of nationalism, and just thinking that you're better than any other group of people. We see so much of that in America, and that's really kind of scary. And people might not see the connection of how this can lead to something really, really bad, but it always does. It always does. Whenever you put yourself against some other group of people or some other religion or anybody, this is the kind of thing it leads to. We have to remember that. It does not change over the centuries. We have to keep learning that lesson.
Yeah, that whole us versus them and turning yourself into the normal, you know, the way of being, and then creating the other group as the other. Literally, they become the other, and become alien, and you get xenophobia, and you get all this wild propaganda or whatever. I mean, it just, there's so many ways to describe it, and you turn them into savages. I mean, how historically evident is that in American culture, you know, with
right.
Native Americans, all that, you know? So
yeah, I mean, we just have to recognize that and resist wherever possible, because clearly that's not the right path to take in any situation. And the path that we see, or hopefully will see in Sarajevo, is something that actually works, something where people get together amongst their differences
and further understanding, you know,
yeah,
further that understanding and sharing, you know.
Yeah, and hold on to that, because when you question its value and start elevating yourself above the other, then it all falls apart. And, you know, like I said before, nobody is immune from that. It can fall apart so quickly once fear and anger take over. So,
and at that point, there's no time for questions. It's all it all goes downhill from there. And that's the, you know, disintegration of human connectivity, and we're getting into a we're getting to be a smaller and smaller world. And I think these are important skills to nurture and to teach and to pass on as we grow. So.
All right. Well, as we drive deeper and deeper into Bosnia, I think amazing things await us, and I can hardly wait till we arrive in only a few hours.
Yeah, I'm thrilled, and this is just a beautiful experience, and I can't wait to get down there and see new things and continue to document it the way we're doing it. I think it's been just absolutely the coolest thing I've done in my life, really. It's really, really amazing. So.
Yeah, me too. One thing that I would like to focus on, as we travel through these places, we want to bring back some bits of culture from different places, there's native music here in Bosnia, but there's also this kind of music in Croatia that people actually were warning us about.
You're changing the subject now. You're not blaming all these animosities on this, are you?
Well, it could possibly be related, but maybe not. I don't know.
I'm kidding. People, I don't mean to make light of it. But
music does have a lot of power. But what this particular music is known as is turbo folk. Now,
Is turbo folk?
Yeah, I had never heard of turbo folk before, but invariably when we mention this to Croatians, they roll their eyes. Sometimes they slam their heads into the wall. It's not seen as something that's particularly good, but for some reason it seems to be rather popular. And I don't know. Let's we track down some turbo folk, and I guess all we can do is judge for ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good to be open-minded, but there's a lot of people that have given it a try and seem to have let it lie where it is. But
we just passed a church, just evidence of the multiculturalism that exists in Bosnia. Churches, mosques, maybe even synagogues, who knows. So we're going to continue on here, but listen to some turbo folk and see how angry it gets you.
Sad. kreće. Vozač bez mane ne zna za strah. Ulica duga, totalni mrak. Stisni do daske, pretekli sve. Na gazi jače, mani jače. Vesta na sat, u krivinu. Vesta na sat, obožavam tu brzinu. Vesta na sat, ko će brže, ko će bolje. Vesta na sat, ludujemo sve do zore. Vesta na sat, u krivinu. Vesta na sat, obožavam tu brzinu. Vesta na sat, ko će brže, ko će bolje. Vesta na sat, ludujemo sve do zore. Julia, Julia! Julia, Julia! Bežim iz grada, do daske gaz. Furam na more, tamo je spas. Benzin u krvi, nagazijače, manijače. Vozač bez mane ne zna za strah. Ulica duga, totalni mrak. Stisni do daske, pretekli sve. Nagazijače, manijače. Vesta na sad, u krivinu. Vesta na sad, obožavam tu brzinu. Vesta na sad, ko će brže, ko će bolje. Vesta na sad, ludujemo sve do zore. Vesta na sad, u krivinu. Vesta na sad, obožavam tu brzinu. Vesta na sad, ko će brže, ko će bolje. Vesta na sad, ludujemo sve do zore.
Stop! Bila je na devojka sa pravim očima, u žilama s motorom je ludila noćima. Vesta na sad, parola je njena i na takvom tripu brzine da menja. Umela je sa mašinom da brzo i tako da zaledi krv da pogleda zako i sa duga je noga i taj vitak stas, svako je oko bilo pravi spas.
Vesta na sad, u krivinu. Vesta na sad, obožavam tu brzinu. Vesta na sad, ko će brže, ko će bolje. Vesta na sad, ludujemo sve do zore. Vesta na sad, u krivinu. Vesta na sad, obožavam tu brzinu. Vesta na sad, ko će brže, ko će bolje. Vesta na sad, ludujemo sve do zore.
Yeah, kids, that sounded more like techno folk to me, but hey, who am I to say? The Bosnians know best. It's a little after 7, which of course means it's time for Finn's Revolution. Tonight, we're going to be speaking to Long Island native and Washington, D.C. filmmaker and director Joe Bano, giving away some tickets to his very special show. Stay tuned.
Constitution, well, my friend, it's gonna have to bend. I'm here to tell you about the destruction of all the evil that will have to end. Struggle just to stay alive.
Sky, you're the And no